Work in Congress is beginning to properly get underway in 2024, with lawmakers selecting the leaders of standing committees, a key component of the legislative process in Brazil. And the Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva government has once again showed its vulnerability in Congress, failing to block the appointment of radical far-right politicians to the head of some of the most important lower house committees. And that could create plenty of hurdles for the administration going forward. My name's Ewan Marshall, Deputy Editor of the Brazilian Report, and this is Explaining Brazil.
If you like Explaining Brazil, you should subscribe to the Brazilian Report, the journalistic engine behind this podcast. We are an independent organization funded by subscribers, so you can help us stay independent and continue to produce award-winning journalism. And if you are already a subscriber, you can go that extra mile and join our Buy Me a Coffee fan page. In return, you will get exclusive perks like special newsletters and behind-the-scenes content, as well as a shout-out here in our podcast. Today, I'd like to thank our Buy Me a Coffee members, Jaciada de Oliveira, Carson Allen, Gabriel Luca, Andrei Novozeltsev, Ken Ludwig, Leslie Seal, Mark Hillary, Luis Hans, Erwin Menez, Aaron Berger, Kars Vresvik, Alasdair Townsend, Miller Renascido, Peter Abrahamson, David Dixon, José José Stankovic, Emerging Market Muser, Anna Lund, Peter Suffering, Anderson da Silva, and someone who chose to remain anonymous. And our Buy Me a Coffee members come from all over the world, so please, if we are butchering the pronunciation of your name, do send us an email. And if you too believe in the importance of independent journalism and want to hear your name on our podcast, go to buymeacoffee.com/Brazilian Report and subscribe to one of the membership tiers. Click on buymeacoffee.com/Brazilian Report to learn more.
Standing committees are crucial to Brazil's legislative process. Before they can be approved, the majority of bills or constitutional amendment proposals must pass through at least one committee. In some cases, the committees actually have the final say and can enact laws without having to hold floor votes. As a result, controlling these committees gives political parties some serious agenda-setting powers in Congress. And joining us this week to discuss these committees is Isabella Cruz, who covers politics and the judiciary for the Brazilian Report. Isabella, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Ewan.
So, Isabella, parliaments around the world have standing committees, so the reason that they're important can be quite obvious for most political observers. But is there something that makes them particularly important in the Brazilian lawmaking process?
Well, when we look at the lower house, there are 30 standing committees, and they play a central role in debating proposals related to their thematic areas before these bills are subjected to floor votes. And in some cases, as you said, the committee's decision can even bypass the need for floor votes. What's more, committees can hold public hearings and summon cabinet ministers to provide clarifications about all sorts of issues, something that the lower house sought to do extensively last year as a way of damaging the government. And standing committees have also gained more importance in deciding on earmarks from the federal budget. So they are really important in the legislative process and also have resources to manage. Within that, committee presidents have the power to decide on their agenda and decide who will be the rapporteur of given bills. So, suffice to say, it's a powerful position.
So who decides who gets to preside over these committees? And, you know, as we mentioned at the top of the show, some radical far-right names had been picked to lead some of these high-profile committees. And why wasn't the Lula government able to block that?
Well, committees are dished out in accordance with the size of each party's bench. In simple terms, the biggest party in the lower house gets first pick. There are 513 seats in the House and 20 parties represented. The Liberal Party, or far-right former president Jair Bolsonaro, has 96 seats in the House, while Lula's Workers' Party comes in second. So nobody expected an excellent result for the government when it came to dishing out committees. But the names chosen by the Liberal Party could have been a bit more moderate. When Bolsonaro joined the party in 2021, hundreds of extreme right politicians came along with him. But there are wings in the Liberal Party that would be more open to dialogue with the government. However, with the municipal elections this year, the party wants to gain visibility with its most radical members. Furthermore, recent operations by the federal police against members of the Liberal Party haven't exactly facilitated dialogue between the government and the party.
And Isabel, you mentioned Lula's Workers' Party there. What committees were they left with?
Its biggest achievement was getting the Health Committee, which will have the largest budget of all committees this year, receiving 4.5 billion reais from so-called committee earmarks. The Workers' Party will also get to lead the Financial Oversight and Control Committee, which monitors the use of the entire federal budget and is currently led by a pro-Bolsonaro congresswoman.
And regarding those committees that are in the hands of opposition radicals, could you give us some examples of those and maybe tell us a little bit about what the government can do in this situation?
First, government lawmakers hope that in the Education Committee, for example, the other members of the committee can overcome any difficulties created by its president, Congressman Nicolas Ferreira. Just to give you an idea, Ferreira was the most voted House member in 2022 and has made headlines several times since for his reactionary behavior. Last year, he donned a blonde wig on Women's Day and gave a speech mocking transgender women. In 2021, asked about whether the Earth was flat, he said he had never researched the topic. During the pandemic, he campaigned against vaccination. Regarding what the government can do to limit the power of Ferreira and company, it can use its power of obstruction, and for its priority bills, it can call for so-called emergency regimes, where these proposals bypass committees and go straight to floor votes. The House Speaker, Arthur Lira, is a fan of that tool, and he's the one that decides the voting agenda for the full House. But of course, in this context, Lula's dependence on Lira is expected to grow. They are already negotiating the terms of this cooperation, and it won't come cheap for Lula. The government is likely to help Lira elect a successor as House Speaker next year and not harm his interests in municipal elections later on in 2024.
Interesting. Yeah, so, I mean, these standing committees have become a bit of a headache for the government, right? I mean, it's going to have a lot of work to do in relation to them this year, I imagine.
Yeah, it looks that way. One of the best indications of that is the Constitution and Justice Committee, which will be presided over by the right-wing radical Caroline Gittoni. This committee is particularly important because its members analyze all proposals before they go to a floor vote, making its head quite powerful indeed. But it was hardly a surprise to have an opponent in that role this year. In 2023, as the House's two biggest parties, the Workers' Party and the Liberal Party, made a deal with the Speaker to take turns presiding over the Constitution and Justice Committee. The Workers' Party had the seat last year, and now it's the opposition's turn. And to be honest, it's not the worst timing in the world for the government. We are going to have municipal elections in the second half of the year, and work in the House always winds down somewhat as the campaign gets closer.
And speaking of that Constitution and Justice Committee, it held its first session on Tuesday, didn't it? How did that go?
Not surprisingly, Caroline Gittoni filled the committee agenda with bills to increase punishments for various types of crimes, an important topic for Bolsonarism. But the government base managed to reverse the order of priorities. Thus, the debates ended up being about projects on topics such as broadcasting concessions and public policies for children. Gittoni promises to preside over the committee with balance and according to the rules. Last year, committees controlled by Bolsonarists took decisions even outside of their institutional roles in order to attack the government. Gittoni has already stated that the committee may discuss amnesties for those convicted for last year's Brasilia riots, potentially including former President Bolsonaro among the names benefiting from such a measure, as he is under suspicion of having orchestrated an attempt coup.
Okay, so that's something for us to keep an eye on throughout the year. Isabella, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you. See you soon.
If you like Explaining Brazil, please give us a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcasts. It only takes a second and it will help us reach a wider audience. Or better yet, subscribe to The Brazilian Report, the journalistic engine behind this podcast. We have a subscription-based business model and your memberships fuel our journalism and keep us going and growing. Thanks to our subscribers, we've been able to cover Brazil and Latin America extensively, and our work has won and been shortlisted for several international journalism awards. More recently, our newsletters won the Best Newsletter Prize in the Americas from the World Association of Newspapers and News Publishers for a small or local newsroom. And in order to keep doing that work, we need your support. So go to brazilian.report/subscribe. I'm Ewan Marshall. Thanks for listening, and Explaining Brazil will be back next week.